So just to continue that, the point I wanted to clarify was this, as to whether, in your view, it is procedurally possible for the Security Council to decide on a candidate to recommend to the General Assembly who actually has not been endorsed by his own government or who has not been recommended by any government.
I think so. I think the Council should look, not only stick to the list of candidates, but look around. And if they find something that they consider to be worthy of the task of Secretary General, they ought to reach for him, regardless of the fact whether he has been presented by his government or by any other government, or he has not been presented at all. I don't think, nowhere is written that a candidate has to be presented by a certain government. So this is the latitude that the Security Council ought to have in selecting a candidate. They have to get the best man for the job. But I have further ideas about this, because if I may share a thought with you. In the 48 hours from that Saturday to the Monday when my name was voted upon, I had to spend that weekend, and I said at one point, God, maybe after what happened, the first ballot, maybe I am on my first ballot, the second ballot of the Security Council. Maybe, who knows, by a miracle I'm elected. What should I do? I have always been very independent-minded, even from my own government. And I always thought, not only then, and still believe, that what a Secretary General, to be really a good Secretary General, he has to be independent. He has not to respond either to a group of countries or group of interests or anyone whatsoever. He has to act according to his conscience, and for that he has to be independent and free. But how do you achieve this? So I thought that one entire night, and I decided that I would reverse the procedure if by any chance I was elected at the Security Council. How? Normally what happens is the Security Council votes on one candidate that gets the needed majority. All right. Then unanimously recommends this name to the General Assembly. The General Assembly votes on this name, which so far is a curriculum vitae. And if he's a delegate, perhaps people know him. But if he's not a delegate, it's just a curriculum vitae for most of the people. And then the candidate who's waiting somewhere with a written speech is invited to come to the room after the vote has taken place and he has been elected, and he makes his acceptance speech and says, thank you very much, I'm going to behave, or like Waldheim did, which is a little bit circus-wise. He spoke in French, he spoke in Spanish, he spoke in English, too, but meaning that he would be an international Secretary General, whatever. And I thought that someone to reverse that. Had I been recommended by the Security Council, I would have gone to the General Assembly before the vote, and I would ask the delegates to listen to what I had to say. I would propose what a program, or if you don't want to call it a program, what I would intend to do if elected Secretary General, and say, do not vote on my curriculum vitae. I intend to trim the budget, to cancel many appointments, to do this and that, to develop the muscle of the United Nations, eliminate the fat. I intend to do this and this and this and this and that. Now, if you agree with this, if you agree with me that there are no seats reserved for any nationality, that I am going to appoint Under Secretary General for the Security Council the best man I can find, not a Russian necessarily, or an American for the job of the United Nations General Assembly, or a French to head the economic department. No, these are feudal lords, and I want to finish with that. I'm going to appoint the best man I can find. Now, if you agree with me, vote for me. If you do not agree with me, please do not vote for me, and let the Security Council find another man. Why? Another thing I would say, is that I would serve one term, just one term. I would not accept to be drafted. I would not present my candidacy for a second term. I would not yield to any pleading with me for re-election. Because for 5 years I can be independent. If I want to be a second term, then I become a politician and I play in the hands of those that have to be re-elected. I would say all this before the assembly, and I would leave the room, let them vote. If they voted for me, they would have voted for a program more than a man, or a man and his program. And this, I thought, would be the thing that would make a Secretary General truly, truly independent.
It's an interesting approach. Let me just ask you, you did serve there during the time both of Uthant and of Kurt Waldheim. How do you assess the independence of each, and not just the independence, but also the effectiveness?
Well, I think by far Uthant was far more independent than Waldheim. Waldheim was obsessed by the great powers. Everything he did was looking at the great powers. But especially, he was very fearful of the Soviet Union. That is obvious the case. Well, that was obvious the case. And I can give you so many examples of that. But he was really obsessed. And no, Uthant was far more independent than Waldheim. Far more independent than Waldheim.
And Uthant maintained the confidence of the Third World members during his tenure, would you say, the whole time?
Well, I think that Uthant was respected by everyone concerned, even those that were not entirely in agreement with his judgment in certain things. I think Uthant was a highly respected man, and he was a man really to be respected. I can tell you an anecdote that tells you what the man was made of. At one point, I had just arrived in New York. I took charge of my assignment on October 1970. In January or February 71, Uthant called me and wanted to see me. It was a long story, I'll make it very short. And he said that he wanted me to be Under Secretary General for Political Affairs at the place of Rawls Bennett, who was very severely ill
right.
At that point. And
the Latin American Post.
Exactly. Well, it wasn't exactly a Latin American post because Ralph Bunche had that post for many, many years. It was a very
At that time, I think it was just the one. And then.
Yes.
And then,
yeah. It was a very distinguished, official, UN official Bunche. And Rawls Bennett, too. Well, when he offered me this, and I said, well, first of all, Uthant, I had to consult my government, but I must be very frank with you. I have just arrived. Argentina is beginning his term of Security Council. I was very much looking forward to this job of being ambassador of Argentina. But of course, what you're offering me is very tempting. But in order to make up my mind and make the necessary recommendations to my government, I need to know something. Next year will be the election of the Secretary General. So I will keep this for me. But please tell me, if you think that you might be re-elected, either you're going to present your candidacy or if drafted, you're going to accept another term. And he said, no, that I can be very definite to you. I will never be Secretary General again. You see, he said, next year I'll be 61 and I will have no moral authority to place UN members in retirement when they reach the age of 60. If I, who are the highest ranking administrative officer in the United Nations, keep on going as Secretary General. No, at 61, I should never be re-elected. Quite a man. Mm. Because Waldheim, for instance, he never got the message that he wasn't wanted for a third term. He needed 18 vetoes, successive veto by the Chinese to abandon the race.
And in terms of managerial capacity, how would you assess Waldheim?
No, I don't think he was good managerial capacity. I don't think he was a good manager. Waldheim was not a good manager. Maybe because of this, I don't know, this situation in which he was, that he was so fearful of. But if you look at numbers, was during the 10 years of Waldheim that the United Nations increased in personnel, increased in budget, increased in everything. It was a better administration under Rutan than under Waldheim.
That's actually the only questions I have, but I'd just like to ask finally, is there any other particular thought you'd like to put on the record, Ambassador?
Concerning the Secretary General?
Mm-hmm. Right. In the interest of the United Nations.
Well, in the interest of the United Nations, I am very definite about Secretary General serving just one term, perhaps 5 years. Someone said seven. I think seven perhaps too long, perhaps six. I mean, you can do whatever you please in 6 years, and if you don't, you don't need any more an extension. I am very optimistic because I think that the United Nations, I'm giving conferences around in Argentina and some lectures here and there and things, and I say that the United Nations is at what I call United Nations year one, because it's like the clock of San Francisco would start right
now. We're back to year one, yes. Yeah. Yes.
I am very hopeful for the organization and very hopeful for the turn of events in the world. I think that everybody is really concerned about the crisis in the Persian Gulf, of course, rightly so, but I think that far more important things are happening elsewhere than in the Gulf. On the contrary, I think the Gulf has been the test to this new system of United Nations Year One, and the test has survived, not just because of the Soviet Union. People tend to forget that China has made possible all these resolutions with their positive vote as well. So I think that the future is going to be all right for the United Nations. Very, very good for the United Nations.
Thank you very much.